Thank you for being with us today. We're continuing our preaching series on God's Holy Spirit. I love the way Paul begins the first letter to the church at Corinth. And if you're like me, sometimes we don't spend much time taking a look at the greeting or the conclusion or the goodbye. But sometimes the greeting is powerful, as is this. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 in verse 2, it says, "To the church of God in Corinth, to those set apart in Christ Jesus and called to be holy, together with all those everywhere who call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, their Lord and our Lord." And it's amazing to me to see how expansive God's spiritual body is, even on this earth. Now, as we've been talking about God's Holy Spirit, we've noticed that the Holy Spirit indwells all of our being, our body, and also the body of Christ. Paul talks about this. He talks about our individual bodies and how the presence of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit indwells us. But he also calls the church the living body of Christ. And we've noticed over the past, I guess, month or so, 2 months maybe now, as we've talked about the Holy Spirit, how the Holy Spirit indwells our physical being, our spiritual being, our intellectual being, our emotional being, and also our eternal being. We'll just take a look at a couple of these, and some of these we've talked about before, but in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, in verse 19, he says, "Do you not know that your body, physical body, is a temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have received from God? You're not your own. You're bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your body." And even though we say it, we can repeat it, we can discuss it maybe a little bit, I think for many of us, we don't spend enough time just thinking about this, that the one who created all things lives in us, our body, and the uniqueness of what that means. When we look at someone's body, and now all the jokes can begin. Well, you know, I'm overweight, or I'm underweight, or this person has this, or this person has that. But do we ever stop to think that whenever we look at another person, do we see God's Holy Spirit in that person? The Holy Spirit indwells us. It's interesting what Jesus said in the book of Matthew just before he leaves, where he says, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given unto me. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the," say it, "in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit." So we're not just baptized into the Godhead. The Godhead is baptized into us. There has never been a moment when God's Holy Spirit was not encouraging us, comforting us, counseling us. There's more to us than us. As the scripture says, you're bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your body. And then in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 16, Paul again talks about our body. "Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple, that God's Holy Spirit lives in you?" Which is again a reminder of how the Holy Spirit indwells us. So the Holy Spirit indwells us physically. The Holy Spirit also indwells us spiritually. So when we stop and think about a body, there's more to us than just the body. There's that physical part, there's an intellectual part, there's the emotional part, there's a spiritual part to all of us. And back in the book of Romans in chapter 8, Paul says this magnificent comment, Romans 8, 16 and 17, he says, "The Holy Spirit himself testifies with our own spirit." Each one of us has a spirit inside of us. And the Holy Spirit of God testifies to our own spirit. The spirit is not the same thing as emotion. It's not the same thing as intellect. It's not the same thing as a body. There is a spirit within us. God is spirit. And anyone who believes in him must speak in spirit and truth. Believe in spirit and truth. Know the spirit of truth. There's more to us than just our brain, more to us than just our thinking, more than just our physical body. We each have our own spirit. But the Holy Spirit testifies with our own spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs. And this is one of the most magnificent passages of Scripture in all the Bible. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God, and co-heirs with Christ. I think if I lived 1,000 lifetimes, I'll never be able to wrap my head around that. That for some reason, God has chosen us to be a co-heir with Christ. So if you ever feel feeble and lonely and think that no one cares, God cares for each one of us so much that he pours out himself into our lives, even into our body, into our spiritual being, and then also into our intellectual being. I'd like to think that somehow we're the ones that make the decisions about giving ourselves to Christ. And I think that's true. But I think the Bible teaches that the Holy Spirit is always whispering to us, motivating us, encouraging us to be closer to God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, in verse 13, here's what Paul says. This is what we speak, not in words taught us by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, expressing spiritual truths in spiritual words. Now, I don't know if that makes any sense or not, but sharing your own personal experience of all of a sudden waking up in your own mind, possibly, in your own spirit, to say, wow, there is a God. There is this loving creator who created all things. And for some reason, God has allowed each one of us to be born through parents. And, well, wasn't that a coincidence? And yet the Bible makes it clear, God knows every hair on our head, or lack thereof in my part, and that God knows all the days of our lives, but that God, here's what always blows me away, but that God knew us even before we were born. And that God chose two people to come together to create us. Did they create us? Or did God say, it's your time now, Don. It's your time now, AD. It's your time now. God just brings us into this world. And in this world, we honor God and love God. The Holy Spirit helps us, even when we decide that we believe in God, that we want to commit ourselves to Christ Jesus, we're the ones that ultimately make that decision. But really think about this with me for a moment. Do you remember when you were trying to make that decision about whether or not you were going to be baptized into Christ? And for many of us, we pray about it, we think about it, but we had this experience, and maybe it's different for everyone, but we had this experience that I have to do this. No one's forcing me, but this invitation is so amazing that it feels like I'm being led to make this ultimate decision to say, Jesus, you lived for me. You died for me. You raised from the dead for me. You now live in me, and the Holy Spirit is counseling me. I just feel like I need to do this. I don't know about you. Maybe you didn't have that experience, but I sure did. I don't mean this to be confusing, but I couldn't help but be baptized into Christ Jesus. Any of you had that experience? And it wasn't so easy, but I knew there was something going on in my own head, in my own heart, in my own soul, in my own spirit, that said, this is something you need to do without coercion, just a counsel, something inside of us. And Paul says, this is God's Holy Spirit speaking to us, whispering to us, comforting us, counseling us. Well, we also know how the Holy Spirit not only is part of our physical being and our spiritual being and our intellectual being, but also our emotional being. Would you look at the scripture with me, Galatians chapter 5, 16 through 25. Galatians chapter 5, 16 through 25. I think this is unique. The book of Galatians was the first New Testament book ever written. It was written by Paul around 48 AD. It was written well before Matthew, well before John, certainly before Luke, and certainly before Mark. In fact, it was probably Galatians was the first book, 1st and 2nd Thessalonians were the next two books, then possibly 1st Corinthians, then Mark, and then back to the epistles again. So Paul is writing to a group of Christians who are brand new, and they're wrestling between Jew and Greek Christianity and the cultural practices. And Paul is talking about unity, asking people to come together in one. Do you remember how we started today, 1 Corinthians chapter 1? God's church here and everywhere. Well, here's Paul saying the church is beginning. Let's all be one in Christ. How do you do that? How do you do that when Jew and Gentile weren't even speaking to one another, weren't even visiting with one another, would never even eat with one another? And now Paul is saying, come together in Christ. How are we supposed to do that? And Paul's answer was, you can't do it on your own, but God's Spirit will help us with this. Here's what he says. So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to God's Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit what is contrary to our own sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other so that you do not do what you want. But if you are led or counseled by the Spirit, you are not under the law, especially the Old Testament law. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious. And then Paul writes one of his many lists. Paul is always making lists. He gives some of the sinful nature things that are obvious: immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambitions, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. We could think of more. Let's not, but we could think of more. But then he says this: but I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. They are not demonstrating what it is to be part of the kingdom of God. This is not a person who's being led by the Spirit, because he begins by saying, live by the Spirit. So then he says, but here's a demonstration of the Spirit, verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Just stop there. And I don't think this is an exhaustive list. I think we can think of more things. Again, Paul is giving us a train of thought. So he says, those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified that sinful nature. We try to, with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. It's opening ourselves up every day to say, Spirit of God, please help me, please lead me, please encourage me, to the point that we do it so often that when all of a sudden we think something in our mind, we automatically think that is not from the Spirit of God. Or when we have an emotion that kind of just grabs us, if we can just think for a moment, that's not from the Spirit of God. This is not why I was created. This is not why God's Holy Spirit lives in us. When we look at a body of another person and we think something we shouldn't think, we immediately say, that person has the Spirit of God in them. How could I think that? It's a reminder for all of us that there's so much more to us than us. And it's the Spirit of God who wants to indwell us and encourage us and to be an example in this world where we might fulfill the Lord's prayer. May your will be done on earth just as it is in heaven. And then the Holy Spirit helps us even in our eternity. For example, here's a beautiful passage of scripture, Romans chapter 8, if you will. Romans chapter 8 and verse 11. If on occasion, every once in a while, you want to memorize a passage of Scripture, memorize this. This is a profound passage of Scripture. Did you know, before we read this, that when Jesus died, when he was raised to life, the Bible says that the Holy Spirit raised Christ from the dead. It's mentioned several times in the Bible that when Jesus died and was buried, the Holy Spirit raised Christ from the dead. And here's Paul's promise. And that same Holy Spirit will raise us from the dead when God calls everyone home. Listen to Romans chapter 8 and verse 11. It's a powerful passage of Scripture. And if the Holy Spirit of God, who raised Jesus from the dead, is living in you, we've already read that, then he, the Holy Spirit, who raised Christ from the dead, will also give life to your mortal beings through his Holy Spirit who lives in you. Isn't that a beautiful passage of Scripture? That when we physically die, we're not left alone, and that God's Spirit will raise us to be with Christ. So these are just a few aspects of when we talk about, do you not know that God's Holy Spirit lives in us? Well, he lives in our body. He lives in our spiritual being. He lives in our intellectual being. He lives in our emotional being. And he also lives in our eternal being. God knew us before we were born. He knows us now. He will always know us. He will raise us. We will be with him forever. So the encouragement as Christians is to live by that Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and control. And the aspect of being a living demonstration as best we can on the earth. Now I'll conclude with, that's our individual body. But Paul says, can you imagine a church where every single person who comes into that church building and sits down together, that not only is the Holy Spirit in each single person, but imagine the Holy Spirit in all of us, all at once, all at one time, all the time. That's the Spirit of God's church on the earth. Together, we have a small group today, but the Holy Spirit indwells each one of us. And Paul looks at this to say, this is amazing. The church coming together as one body. And here's what Paul says, and I'll conclude with this. 1 Corinthians 12, 12 through 27. Talks about our individual body. The body is a unit, though it's made up of many parts, and though all its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, we were all given the one Holy Spirit to drink. Now the body is not made up of one part, but many, and if the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I don't belong to the body, it would not be for that reason cease to be part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has arranged the parts of the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. And if they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. And then he goes on. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. The head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem weaker are indispensable, and the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor, and the parts that we think are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has combined the members of the body and has given greater honor to the parts that lacked, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. And if every part is honored, every part rejoices with it. I read a letter today from Vi Conkle. One of the things that she said was, thank you for your calls, for your visits, for your cards, for your prayers. That's a body. Someone's hurting, we come together. Now, we know that with our own family. For those of us who had, remember what it's like when we had babies and now maybe some grandchildren, you know they're going to fall. And sometimes you just can't get there quick enough. You just can't get there quick enough. And they fall. And they cry. Now, which one of us would say, well, serves you right. Smarten up. I just can't imagine such a thing. We do things that we thought maybe we'd never do. We pick up that baby, we hold that baby, we take their tears away, their nose is running, we'll just use our thumb, wipe their nose, we'll do whatever it takes. We don't care if we get dirty, we don't care. We would take their pain anytime because we love them so much. That's how God feels about each one of us, and that's how God feels about us. Here and everywhere. It is easy, and for some reason, it's when we forget about God's Holy Spirit in us, where we can have a critical spirit about another body, a church, or another person. That's a critical spirit that does not come from the Spirit of God. But we can embrace people of God and say there's more to us than us. And it's God's Spirit who brings us together as one. So let me conclude with this. As I started today, let me finish. To the Church of God in Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus and called to be holy, together with all those everywhere who call on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, their Lord and ours. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's sermon. The Beamsville Church of Christ meets Sunday mornings at 4900 John Street, Beamsville, Ontario. We have classes for all ages at 9:30, and the worship service begins at 10:30. You can subscribe to podcasts through Apple Podcasts, Google Play Music Store, or your favorite podcast app. Just search for Beamsville. All our past sermons and more information about our congregation are available at beamsvillechurchofchrist.ca.